making sense of it all.
With the angels and the angelology, it's weird. You hear about people talking about angels, but they don't mention God. And it's almost as if, instead of what the Bible presents, which is that angels are sent and are controlled by God, it's the reversal, and the idea is that angels are controlled for and for the benefit of man. And that's the difference, because angels that humans control is essentially what a lot of angelologists suggest, or that they're there to help you. Whereas actually in the Bible, a lot of the time, angels conflicted with some humans that didn't follow God. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, there are angels that were out protecting.
But then you can see the connection between what's going on in the New Age movement with a lot that's gone into the church, which we've seen lately of all the revival stuff, where we have people saying, you know, we must get in touch with the angels, we must get these angels of wealth, angels of prosperity, angels of healing. And actually sort of try to sort of get these angels all involved as if, I mean, it's the same process as in the New Age.
It's fallen angels.
Yeah. Anything that you would call angelic, if you believe in angels and that sort of thing, it's either angels from God for the will of God, or it's not biblical angels.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Work could be one
or
the
other. Lucifer. Recently, a lady was being interviewed on the radio who had, she said she could see angels, you know, in the room. She knew when, you know, they were there, and that she would talk to them, they would talk to her, you know, give her information, tell her certain things. But she was quite clear that she knew that who God was, you know, that Jesus was God. She was very, very clear on every other point. There was no, I know, nothing that you could fault her on.
Yeah, but that makes the deception even more subtle,
isn't it? I know. Yeah. And so she came across as everything was absolutely right spiritually. Everything was completely right.
But people have the habit, don't they, of trying to justify their bad habits. You know, so it's a kind of a self-justification.
I must say, when I was listening to it, it was very confusing because I couldn't quite accept the whole concept of what she was talking about. And yet, she ticked all the boxes. Everything seemed quite, you know.
But usually angels in the Bible are sent because they have a message, not to have a chat or to spend. Angels are not here to spend time with humans. Why would they spend time with us when they can spend time with God? They'll only spend time with us if God has sent them to do something. So the idea of angels coming down just to hang out is so, why would what a strange situation to think that an angel would rather or would choose out of the option of spending time with God and with us.
But they're not hanging out in this sort of rapey or whatever it might be.
They have a purpose
because the person's going in there the person's going in there because they suffer from migraine or they can't move their left hand, and so the angel comes to help them.
And that's what they're suggesting in a lot of these kindred spirits, biblically it's God sends an angel.
Going back to this, if he has the I Am family of light, you look at all the delegates there, and they've all got different functions. One is this bloke from Canada, he's a messenger for the angelic and ascended realms. Another one is the guardian and messenger for the earth. These are just men, ordinary men. Another one is a messenger in charge of ascension activations. What's that?
See, that's another thing. Is this whole thing, a lot of people outside of spiritual understanding who maybe think of angels as spirits of people that have died. And that's another common misconception, that we become angels. Obviously we understand it's not true, but a lot of people do believe that somehow you become an angel.
Your great-grandmother's looking after you.
And I suppose it's easy to think about that if you've got a young child that's just died, that, you know, your little angel has become a real angel.
Right,
and it's looking over you, whatever.
Whereas they will probably have a guardian angel. I believe in guardian angels.
Where does that come from? Where's the idea of a guardian angel?
Where is that?
I don't know.
Guardian angels?
Yeah.
It does say in the Gospels that every child has an angel associated, attached to them, I think. But only for children, I think.
I can't remember reading that anywhere.
But does that mean it's assigned to them as children and they grow up with it?
Just carry on talking, I'll have a look.
Say that again.
What?
The angels behold the Father.
What? Oh, were you having a little word? Hey, first time in 5 months. Microphone. Steve is going to contribute. No, he changed his mind.
For the angels, behold the Father in heaven.
The other thing about the angels is that actually we're lucky enough to be prized above the angels that we will be higher than the angels. So, yeah.
But we've been created a little lower than the angels.
We've been created lower, but we were brought up through it higher.
Right, yes.
And we will judge them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Didn't know that.
I'm not quite sure where it says that.
Yeah, it does. Be judging the angels and the angelic realm.
Let's find all these verses.
Yeah, carry on.
I'm just wanting these verses.
We will insert verses.
No, I don't really think there's anything much for me to say except get this.
Can I just get back?
Yeah, it's about judging the angels here. Just 1 Corinthians 6.
Just to play devil's advocate, because he's left the room, so I've got to take his place. Some of the ideas that came back from Babylon were kind of New Age.
New Age goes right back to Babylon, really.
And some of that Babylonian stuff crept into the Hebraic thinking. Hmm. I mean, even the names of the months in Hebrew are not Hebrew months.
Well,
they're Babylonian. Right. Nissan, Eon, Sivan, Tammuz. It's all Babylonian names.
That's where Abraham lived, didn't he? He lived in Babylon.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean from the exile, that time.
Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? That's us, so we're all saints, you know. Not the girl group. and if the world shall be judged by... And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels, not to mention the things of this life?
Where's that in?
1 Corinthians 6.
And where's the thing about the angels and the children?
Somewhere else in the Bible.
Have a look for that.
Well, then, talk about something irrelevant.
Well, I think we should stay on this.
To make it clear to those who don't know that Satan was an angel, was Lucifer, and he was the highest of the angels, and he was in charge of beauty and music in the heavens.
He was the most beautiful, wasn't he?
Yes. He was, yeah.
Yeah, his name.
And through pride and wanting to gain the throne of God to be in God's place, that was where the initial fall, the angelic fall, and he ended up in the deepest pit of hell, which is the complete opposite of the throne of God. He just put a little perspective. And a third of the angels, host of heaven, fell with him.
Yeah.
So a lot of people.
So there's a lot of fallen angels.
So a lot of people that we believe are talking about communicating with angels more than likely are communicating with fallen angels. Yeah. If it's not an angel from a biblical, godly perspective, as that's where the righteous
from the heavenly
angels
realms.
Come from.
I've heard about where people have been totally misled because they've thought an angel has been coming to see them. Say the particular story I'm thinking of, where this woman, she'd lost her husband, and an angel was coming and sitting beside her on her bed, speaking to her, and she said, oh, this is so wonderful, I've got an angel to comfort me. And she would wait for him each night, and then she realized that when he tried to do something totally out of order, you know, sexually, that she realized that this was not an angel from God.
It's interesting you mention that, though, because I remember on a holiday talking to a friend of mine who said he'd read in one of these sort of young girl magazines that his sister had, that a girl had written a letter in saying, I don't really understand, but a few weeks ago I felt I had been sexually abused, but there was no one in my room, there was no one in my bed, blah 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 blah. And the reply in this sort of kids young girls magazine was that it was a type of spirit called a succubus, and there are two types of spirits that are talked about called incubuses and succubuses, which are thought of as basically spirits that rape you. Now, interestingly, that I'm not the idea that that would very much match what people would say. Exactly. Well, that's what I thought. That's what I thought was ridiculous. But no, the Incubus and Succubus.
You didn't read the right magazine. They didn't have any Jackie magazine.
No.
What are these terms from?
These are sort of these are strange, almost sort of cultish. Quite old terms for spirits that are basically spirits that have been given. I don't think it's a biblical title. It's nothing like that. But the fact that even those that aren't Christians or religious have identified that there is some kind of spirituality that forms sexually wrong acts.
Well, look at the initial fall the sons of, or the daughters of man and the
Nephilim.
Sons of God.
That's why the flood came, basically.
That's right. Part of the reason for the flood.
There's the reality that there are fallen.
A succubus is a demon. A succubus is a demon who takes the form of a beautiful woman.
That's fallen angelic being. Some physical form.
Right.
Go on.
Say that again.
A succubus is a demon who takes the form of a beautiful woman to seduce men.
That isn't a biblical thing, but that is a sort of a general belief. And the reality of what you've mentioned, and from a biblical perspective, you can say if a third of the angels have fallen, then these sort... Now, it's not saying that all these experiences are definite and real, but it's that reality that what people in the world call incubuses and succubuses, these weird spiritual things, are actually, from a biblical perspective, fallen angels that come to trick and disturb. Because the other thing is, if you've had some experience like that, how very quickly you will switch off all desire to search for any kind of spirituality. Because this is the thing, it's the same with Ouija boards, when people get scared with them. It's all about freaking people out to the point that they will never go on a search for truth again.
Fear.
And I've met people, in fact, one common theme has been that I've seen is people that have come from schools run by nuns and monks that have they've been so disturbed by various things that have gone on there that they've blocked all search. Yeah. And it's that this is for. It's not. It's to sort of disturb people to never look again
for
truth.
Well, in my family, my mum, when she was searching way before she was a Christian, she used to have meetings where they used to look into the occult and stuff. And they didn't go as far as the Ouija boards, but there was a chap, a taxi driver who was also a faith healer, who actually saw spirits and used to meet up in his place. And she said to my mum that my mum had a spirit of an old Chinese bloke, and he could see her. And the funny thing is, Angela, sort of my friend from childhood, the most normal, straightforward person, she could see spirits. She could see. Well, I don't remember that. But what I'm saying is, as a result of that, my mum had to renounce all that when she became a believer. Yeah. But it's always gives a little bit of fear about going too much into the occult. If we talk about deliverance and things like that, my mum would get a bit
occult. Things of spiritual nature, as Louis said,
it can.
This seeing spirits thing, from a Christian perspective, are we saying that this person genuinely had the ability to see spirits, or was she being tricked, or was she seeing demonic spirits and attributing them to being good spirits? Does that make sense?
If it was a spirit from God, I think you would have a sense of peace. I would think you wouldn't have a fear. Wouldn't come.
Or the fear would be. It's that thing. In the Bible, lots of people saw God, and there was fear through awe and understanding of how bad you were in the sight of God.
That's a reverential fear, as opposed to
the same with the tomb when the resurrection. This the spirit that appeared to Mary, the Marys. Filled them full of fear because it was amazing. It was sort of
because fear is a form of faith. Because if you fear something, you have faith in the power of that. It's a form of
it's a
faith.
Holy fear,
as opposed to seeing something and going, "Whoa!" Yeah.
It's not afraid.
No,
it's a total
reverence. It's reverence. It's like seeing God. If we saw God, or when Moses, you fall to the ground.
You're fearful of something. You're careful, aren't you?
Yeah.
As opposed to realise
how important it is. And
I better not get this wrong.
Yeah.
I think initially those first experiences, like the lady you were talking about, were of comfort. That's how
the world works, isn't it?
It's the deceit. I know.
The Holy Spirit. And that is the comfort.
It's very difficult as a believer that if somebody is in mourning, and they get comfort out of something, and
well,
you.
An angel.
And you, and then you go in, and you go in, and you take that comfort
but
away.
But you'd think a believer would have discernment. No. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you'd be.
But
able
to on the same,
David is saying you can't take that. How can you take that comfort away from somebody who's recently bereaved?
You explain that the Holy Spirit is a comforter.
Oh yeah,
and that is true comfort.
And that what
so
they're experiencing.
Replacing it with the truth, rather than just taking the rub from beneath.
Rather than a counterfeit comforter.
Yeah. So what we're saying is that we need to be very aware what are the encounters, you know, are they from God or are they from the demonic side of things?
We talk about what's happened in the world recently with the Todd Bentley situation.
Discernment.
The whole thing was about angels.
And the discernment also matches with discernment matches with what it says in scripture about all this sort of stuff. So again, if you look in the Bible, very rarely did God send angels repeatedly to someone for comfort. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And it's sort of, if you look at, if someone came up to me and said, I think an angel is visiting me, before I said anything, I'd say, right, let's pray about this. And secondly, the first thing I'd do is I would read every single bit in the Bible about angels so that I can understand biblically what an angel should and shouldn't do,
be. In the Bible, the angel would be, like, I think in the, when Jesus was in the wilderness, he was like fed or whatever, he was ministered to him and during the Garden of Gethsemane. Giving messages to Daniel, Gabriel was giving a message
to Joseph, to the shepherds, because the Holy Spirit wasn't there. Yeah. They weren't spoken from the inside; you were spoken from the outside.
But you hear a lot of testimonies of people where angels have been around to help.
It's usually a message.
No, I mean, I remember Patrick's story of coming alongside and helping.
But it was a one-off situation. It wasn't like with the Todd Bentley thing where this angel keeps coming back and floating around throwing gold dust everywhere and whatever.
No, because it says that, you know, you may be entertaining angels unawares, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it says that you might encounter an angel,
tend to be a one-off encounter.
And you don't realise.
Because if it's coming back again, then I'm sure it's not an angel. I'm sure it's something that's trying to get claws into you. Norman's not here today.
Ultimately, it's God that wants to deal with you, not his angels. And ultimately, if he's going to change and comfort and renew you, he is not going to send an angel to do that. God is going to do that himself. So that's the other thing. If someone's repeatedly seeing an angel, it's like, well, no, God wouldn't send something less powerful than himself.
That is the fault of the church all through the ages, having priests and whatever. We have direct.
It can't be angels because Jesus said he sends you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Yeah. It's got to be the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And if it's not,
argue that. There's many out there that have said, no, we've had encounters with angels.
We don't doubt it.
Are they angels or are they messengers from another source?
People that haven't yet got the Holy Spirit in their lives.
Absolutely, yeah.
But where angels are still used. I mean,
Just as people in Scripture heard.
The Holy Spirit inside them to comfort them.
I think what you said before was very relevant and to the point. Where you said that in biblical times, in the Old Testament times, people didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside them, so the communication was from without.
Yes.
But now it lives inside you.
However, there are many that don't have the Holy Spirit inside, which may be why.
Possibly. I don't know.
Non-Christians.
Non-Christians are searching, maybe. You haven't yet given their life to Jesus.
But it's a fine line, because at the same time, it's...
That's just a thought. That's not biblical.
But there's also the area of people, obviously, from either Catholic background that talk about Mary and say that they know that Mary identifies with them because she's a woman
and that she can intercede and pray for you. That is a fallen, debauched version of feminism, though. It's giving and I'm not saying this to slag off the Catholic Church, because if I wanted to, I'd go into that rant. But the reality is they are equating something that is not God. They are equating something that is not God into something as powerful as or an equal to God. And that happens with Mary, that happens With the angels. It happened to John the Baptist himself. People said, you are the Messiah. And John said, I cannot even untie the shoes of Messiah. And the Catholic Church, many people in the Church of England, many people that are just sort of American Christians will equate either angels or Mary or people to the level of God. And there is nothing in the Bible that levels anyone up to the level of God. So when people say Mary interceded, no, Mary didn't die on a cross. Mary does not have any power to convert the heart. Mary is not a powerful spiritual being. She was Mary, a woman who was part of the plan.
She was a very lovely Jewish mother.
Yes.
Miriam.
But she was part of the plan.
And,
she was not the plan.
And she during her, appalled by people worshipping
during her Magnificat, when she gave her song at the time, you know, when Jesus was born, or just before that time, she talked about the Saviour, that Jesus was going to come as the Saviour, her Saviour.
Yes.
If she needed a saviour, then she was an ordinary person like you and me, you know, and that's in Scripture.
So it's interesting finding, actually, in the Catholic Church, now that Kim works in Catholic school, to find the different styles of thinking in there.
I think some of them are
hip to the fact that it's not about Mary. Yeah, it's a strange mixture.
But I don't think you can always get rid of certain things that you believe in, right. I think you reinterpret it, but it stays there, especially with Mary.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, then? Is that
important, Mary, to the Catholic? And all the saints that have come since.
Exactly.
I worked in a Catholic school, and we used to pray, I didn't, they used to pray to St. Thomas More, where he was an evil man, and asking St. Thomas More to look after this, that, and the other.
I think it's the title saint, because in the Bible we are all saints. So people would then say, okay, you know, if any one of us died tomorrow, that we could then intercede for people.
Which,
you know,
wrong,
for those left, well,
which
yes,
is basically.
Which is wrong.
Yeah. This is a big
well, Lord says we don't.
It's
talk
a very
dead.
Big subject. No, exactly.
Mary is someone you can learn.
I think it's a good to have a discussion with this with a Catholic, because we know someone who would be good to have in here and
that'd
to just to trick, because it's a big subject and we need to treat it gently. We don't want to alienate it.
No,
that's
no,
right.
No.
And also, with our own thinking, we can have a very sort of like one-dimensional view about what Catholicism is, whereas there are different people.
Well. Well, so, yeah, I think you go alongside people and through questioning them rather than interrogating them, we should get to the truth.
Yes.
So I think we'll do that another time, that particular discussion.
I've always wondered how Mary was able to...
How
Mary was able to discipline or correct her son, the Messiah, as he was growing up.
Well, there's one account where he's standing in the temple and he's having his little preachy sesh.
Teaching
the sand. And he says that he had to submit to his parents.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, it's crazy, but that's the way.
Thank
you. It's another bit of proof.
Honor your father and mother. He actually says, what does he say? He rebukes Mary, doesn't he?
She comes and interrupts.
Oh, that's the wedding.
Right.
No, when he says, my time's not yet come, why are you asking
me to do this? No, there's another time when the family are outside the house, he says, no, you are my family now, not my physical family.
Yes. Jesus, your mum's knocking at the door. Tell her, go away.
Go away. I'm not here.
I already gave.
Maybe you thought it was Jehovah's Witnesses out there.
Saffron planet.
Right, well, what's
making sense of it all?
Are we going to have a rest now and then come back?
Yeah.
I think so.
We've been going for an hour and 9 minutes.
Oh, is it tea and cake time?
Tea time.
Well, there's at least one.